In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on Luisa and the bread, the food of the most holy divine will. We are on page 13, the middle of the page, volume 30, 430, 1932. And Jesus begins with, "You must know." And we all know that that is a command from Jesus. You must know this. To live in the divine will, you must understand this. A lot of times people, you know, read the divine will and they think it's good and holy and saintly. They read the divine will and they feel it's another devotion in the church. They don't grasp the depth and the beauty of this great gift of the divine will. They don't understand it. And Jesus is trying to help us. So he gives us the "you must know." And there's a book put together of all the "you must knows" that Jesus tells Luisa and therefore tells us that we must know what this is about. So he says, "You must know that living in our most holy divine will is a gift." Okay, so this is the first thing. This is the gift of gifts, Jesus says. It's the prodigy of prodigies. And you can reject a gift. For example, a gift that's a lot of times rejected over Christmas is fruitcake. You know, and it's passed. We used to do that, pass it on from person to person. I just thought it was funny until I started eating fruitcake. I said, you know, this is really, really a wonderful thing. It's basically all that is left on the counter. What do we do with all this stuff? Well, let's put it in a cake. And that fruitcake is by most people rejected. And it's a gift. You know, we give these gifts to one another over Christmas. And, you know, here's a gift that was given to one person and they wrap it up and they give it to another person. They wrap it up. And the fun part is it's like the generosity. Who's got the ugliest sweater that you can give to somebody? You know, the Christmas sweater. But here, Jesus is saying that you have to understand that this is a gift, and some people are not going to want it. Some people are not going to embrace it. And even though it's the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, a lot of times what happens is when we hear someone talking about the divine will, like there are some people who present the divine will in a very bitter way, and people listen to it and they go, "I don't want that. Thank you, but no thank you." It's like taking candy out of your mouth and saying, "Here, taste it." And you go, "Thank you, but no thank you." You know, I don't know who you are, you know, and you're this saliva and candy is coming out of your mouth and you're trying to feed me this. I don't want it. And a lot of times people, you know, say, "You have to read this, you must read," and, you know, to receive this gift, sometimes you just have to say, "Well, let me think about it, let me pray about it, and, you know, let me read." And once somebody starts reading, they begin to understand this is not anything that they have heard of before. It might sound similar in certain aspects, but to possess this gift of gifts, none of the saints have ever given us this. And a lot of people at that point, they go, "Well, if St. Thomas Aquinas didn't talk about it, I don't want it. You know, I'm a Franciscan. If St. Francis didn't talk about it, I'm not going to want it." And you have to give people time. The only problem is Our Lady of Revelation said in 1947, and now it's 73 years ago, she says, "Time has now come to an end." It's a new beginning that God wants to give And it's not new at all. It's the oldest gift. It's the gift that Adam had before he fell. It's the gift of gifts. And so he says, you must know that living under divine will is a gift of what? That our magnanimity wants to give to creatures. This great and glorious God, this almighty, all-powerful God, in his goodness and in his love, wants to give this to his children. If we receive it, we really become his children. And what is this gift? To enter into God's image and likeness again. Jesus possessed it. Mary possessed it. The Son of God, the Mother of God, possessed this gift. And they gave it to Louisa. They said, finally we found a soul that is docile enough, submissive enough, surrendered enough to God, that says, okay, I you want me to have it? I want this. Total docility. And our great God, our loving God, our powerful God, what does he want to give us? He wants us to be in his image and likeness. His image and likeness. Holy moly. This is what a glorious God we have, that he'd be willing to share with us his image and likeness. And he says this, and with this gift, the soul, the creature, shall feel himself transformed. This transformation is what God is looking for. We look at our life, and, you know, what do we have when we go to confession? Blessed be Father, for I've sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do, and I am sorry. I don't want to live like this any longer. I want to enter into your great and glorious divine will. I want to be one with you as you want me to be with you. I want to be in your image and likeness. So when we recognize what our human will is, and if that's what we say when we go to confession, and how we don't want to live like this. You know, so many people say, I finally given up my anger. You know, as soon as I say that, because I'm reading the divine will. I'm living in the divine will. I've given up my anger. Someone says something to you and they're going, "Arr!" All of a sudden, their teeth are showing in a growling fashion. And it's Jesus is going to do this. But he says, you have to learn how to do this. You have to allow me to do this. And he says, once you allow me, the Lord God Almighty, to enter into your life with every thought, word, and deed, so that you begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will, you will be freed of yourself, of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, and your sin, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. To be filled. I want you to be joy-filled, peaceful, and happy, Jesus says to Louisa. So what does he say? This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Louisa Picaretta and the great gift of the divine will, when the souls begin to read this, they will begin to feel themselves transformed. Little by little, this is the great thing. It's not instantaneous. Why? Because you have to learn this. You don't get on a bicycle, a two-wheel bicycle when you're, you know, a child and automatically ride it. No, you got to learn how to do this. It's the same thing with the divine will. You have to learn, study, put this into practice. And then when you read throughout the day, you try to put that into practice. You try to remember what Jesus said to Louisa and put it into practice. So he says, what will happen is this, what is this transformation? You will become from poor to rich. Poor to rich. What does he mean? He says, you will no longer have the poverty of your human misery, but you'll have the richness of God's life, image, and likeness. From weak to strong, you're no longer going to be the miserable human being that you are. As soon as you hear something, you get angry or lose your temper or be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. No, it's fiat. You learn how to say fiat. And this fiat is so important in all situations that you say, you know, even if it's tough, Lord, you're in charge of my life. You're in charge. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And you know what's going on. And I trust you. I don't want to take control of the situation. I present it to you and I trust you. And if the Lord says, okay, I want you to see, true love is if God said to you, I love you so much that what I have for you is purgatory for the rest of you, for rest of the eternity. I don't want you to go to heaven. I want you to be in purgatory forever. True love would say, yes, I want what you want. There would be no complaining. But Jesus would never do that. He says, I love you so much, I want you to be with me in eternity. I want to share with you my divinity. This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This prayer is happening now. First of all, because of Louisa, what Jesus and Mary have given to Louisa, what our triune God gave to Louisa, from poor to rich, from weak to strong, from ignorant to learned. It's wonderful to learn, to study, begin to understand things that you didn't understand before. Oh, it's that simple? I didn't realize that. Study. And what Jesus is doing, he's teaching us how to live in this divine will of his. From slave of vile passions to sweet voluntary prisoner of a divine will, all holy, 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 that does not keep him a prisoner any longer. See, the going to confession is very, very important to go over your life every night before you fall asleep and to apologize to the Lord and to stand in the breach for all mankind and for everyone at night to say, Lord, I am sorry that I did not totally and completely surrender to you. I did not completely, totally love you as you deserve to be loved. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. What happens at that point, Jesus teaches Louisa, is he hears all mankind praying that prayer. All mankind. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I've offended you. And I really apologize. And I ask that you have mercy on me. Forgive me. You know what that does for the world? It begins to heal all the wounds throughout the world. A new beginning is coming for mankind. And Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do what I want you to do? Are you surrendered enough? Are you submissive enough? Are you docile enough to do what I am asking of you? And he says, if you do, you will be so happy. Why? You're going to begin to live the life that I've wanted for you from the beginning of time. It's not about you. It's all about loving God and sharing in his divinity. Letting go of all things that are earthly. And that's what he's saying here. The slavery of vile passions. The slavery of vile passions to the sweet voluntary prisoner of a divine will. I surrender myself to you, Lord. You're my Lord, you're my King, you're my Master, you're my Savior, you're my God, and I want to please you in every thought, every word, every deed. Everything that you have given to me, I surrender back to you. Why? Because you deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And Jesus says that this gift does not keep you a prisoner any longer, but you become a king, king of yourself. The evil one has no power over you. He says, a king of divine dominions. You this is why God created you, to be Lord of even divine dominions. That's why the priest says every day a holy mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. And King of all created things. Each human is supposed to be the Lord of the earth. That's why when Adam fell, he couldn't give this to his children. And Jesus comes as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus comes as the Lord and Creator. And he says, now, after 4,000 years, he says, I come to redeem. Now, after 2,000 years, I come to sanctify. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. A glorious time to be alive. More magnificent than what you could ever possibly imagine. This is our great God. This is what our great God wants for us. So he says, you must know this. Begin to live in my divine will. And you will go from poor to rich, from weak to strong, from ignorant to learned, from a slave to a king. Everything that you could possibly want, Jesus says, I want for you. Even more than what you could ever imagine. Unheard of prodigies are going to be for those children who want to live in my most holy divine will, Jesus says to Louisa. I've got great plans for my children. And he says, all they have to do is come to me. And he says that throughout Scripture. Do you find life difficult and hard to bear? Come to me. I will make you strong. I will give you a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Our Lord is, and how do you get to know God? You spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. Spend time in front of the monstrance, looking at Jesus, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him, falling in love with him. You should have a crucifix where at your own home, where you pray, where you can look at Christ crucified and talk to him. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your family's going through. Talk to him. Be that little child again that he has called you to be. Again, what happens is everything begins to change with this great gift of the divine will. And our God is looking at us and he's saying to us, do you want what I want to give you? And if we say no, he says, okay. It breaks his heart, he says. It's horrible for him to lose a child. But he said to Lucifer, the most beautiful of all the angels, the most intelligent of all the angels, when Lucifer said, I will not serve, I will not obey, God says, okay, I have to give you what you want. And what you want is hell. That's not obeying God. Not being faithful to God is hell. A lot of people make the wrong choice in life, or choices in life, and they begin to live a life of hell. And that's not what God wanted for them. And you could say, oh, they didn't have the opportunity. No, that's not true. Colossians says, it's very clear in Colossians, everyone knows God, and they decide whether or not to follow him. Whether or not to be faithful to him. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. You know how many Catholics don't even care about the faith? They were the great grace, the great blessing of being baptized in the Holy Catholic Church. The sacraments and the sacramentals that are given to them. And they don't want it. Jesus is saying to us, this was your medicine. He knows how tough it is. Yet this isn't heaven. He knows how tough it is. There are some in the church that are not good. But we have to go to confession every week. Everybody has to go to confession every week if you think about it. Jesus is asking us, you know, come to me. I will take care of the situation. Pride keeps us away from God. I don't believe it. I don't want it. I don't care about it. So what does God have to do? This is what he says to Louisa. The sad part, he says, I have to use divine justice to have people turn back. And divine justice means to be on the brink of death. To realize, you know, our life does belong to God, is one with God. Hopefully, you know, like he says, that last surprise of love that he gives to mankind will be a life that will be a moment in time, the hour before our death, now and at the hour of our death. He says he has that last cast, this last catch of the day. He tries to bring in as many souls that are at the point of death so that they can turn to him. See, our prayer is powerful. We can say every night, Lord, for all those people that have died today or at the point of death right now, Lord Jesus, we ask that this with the surprise of love that you want to give them, that's in volume 35, with the surprise of love, you can say to Jesus, give them the grace. Let them accept the grace of you, Lord, and be with you in the kingdom. He says this, it shall happen as to a poor one who dresses with wretched rags, lives in a hovel without doors, therefore exposed to thieves and enemies. He does not have sufficient bread to satisfy his hunger. He is constrained to beg for it. That's where we are without Jesus. We're dressed in rags. We're exposed to thieves and enemies. We don't have anything to satisfy our hunger, and we have to beg for it. With Jesus, it's all different. With Jesus, it's all different. Let's look at Francis. St. Francis of Assisi. What does he do? He says, I only eat food that people will give us. It's the food that they don't want. How many times do you you know, this food pantries, and people say, you know, do you have any extra food in your food cupboard that you can give to the poor? And what do we pick? We pick the stuff that we don't want to eat. We pick the things that are almost out of time. The date is very close. Jesus gives us the best of food. It's himself. He gives us everything to keep us on the straight and narrow, that narrow path that leads us to heaven. He says, if a king would give this person who dressed in rags, exposed to enemies and thieves, well, one who is hungry and has to beg for food, if a king would give that person $1,000,000 as a gift, the poor one would change his lot in life. He would no longer be the figure of a poor beggar, but of a lord who possesses palaces, villas, and he would dress with decency. He would have abundant food and is placed in the condition of being able to help other souls. I found that the majority of generous people are poor. They know what it is to be poor. And so they help people financially. Those that are rich, it's almost as if, it's really funny. This is the majority. If I give it away, I won't have it anymore. And it's like, yeah, it's not even yours. It belongs to, God gave you this to help others. But if I give it away, I won't have it. And they're very frugal with their wealth. The generous souls, They say, do you need something? Let me help you with it. If you need something, let me do this for you. See, there's two types of people. There's givers and there's takers. The givers give and they're happy. The takers take and they're never happy. Take and they're never happy. What Jesus is saying is, look what he says. If a millionaire gives this person some money, the guy then can help others. Do you see how God thinks? Do you see how God works? It's to help others. What has changed the lot of this poor one? The millions of dollars that he has received as a gift. Now, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that Jesus tells Louisa, is there's no money that could buy it. This is priceless. It is the pearl of great price that Scripture talks about. What Jesus wants is he wants us to have this abundant life. He doesn't want us to be sinful. He doesn't want us to be far from him. He doesn't want us to be selfish. He wants us to be like him, image and likeness. So those souls who spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, those souls who spend time praying their morning and evening prayers, the souls that spend time going to Holy Mass, the souls that spend time in front of our crucified Lord, and now the souls that spend time reading and studying the Book of Heaven, they're all going to change. They're going to change in a way that Jesus says will astonish the saints. As St. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints of the history of the world, history of the church in those end times. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. We are in the end times. You have to remember that. John Paul II said that when he was Pope. He says, the reason I say is Paul said it 2,000 years ago. And if it's 2,000 years ago, that was the end times. We're really at the end of the end of time. And Our Lady of Revelation says that to Bruno. Time has now come to an end. Our whole focus is to get ready for eternity. Our whole focus is to leave time and space and enter into the beatific vision. If we don't know about it, Jesus says, I'm going to help you. We haven't been taught anything, you know, for 50 years. How do we know this? Jesus says, I will help you. Well, how are we going to know what's what? Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Book of Heaven. I will explain everything to you. I will show you how blessed you are to have this book. Read it, study it, put it into practice. This is what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to listen and believe. Now Jesus says this. Now if a vile coin has the virtue of changing the lot of the poor unhappy soul, even more the great gift, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies of our most holy divine will. Even more than $1 million, more than $1 billion. After a while, it's the only thing that matters is God. You know, St. Francis, I really focused on Francis a long time ago, and the thing that got to me was when on his deathbed, you know, he's dying, you know, he really died of malnutrition. He starved himself to death. And that, you know, I'm not saying that's what we do. But the brother said, we have some cookies from Claire, because Claire used to make him cookies, and then he gave them up. He loved them so much. And they said, would you care for a cookie from Claire? And he goes, yes. He goes, I'm dying. I might as well try this again. And he takes a bite of it and starts laughing and laughing and laughing. And his disciple said to him, what's so funny? And he said, that which I thought was delicious, that which I thought was the best, is mere sand now. See, he's understanding the earth. He's getting ready for eternity. Jesus says, I want you to live the eternal life now, not after you die. I want you to begin to live the abundant life now, the resurrected life now, before you die. So this is what Jesus says. Given as gift, the divine will, this gift of gifts, it shall change the unhappy lot of the human generations. That's past, present, and future. You haven't seen anything yet. It'll change your unhappy lot, except for the souls who voluntarily want to remain in his own misery, in his own unhappiness. You can be free if you wish. You don't have to be unhappy if you wish. You don't have to be sad if you wish. What do you wish for? It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that's found in Louisa. You don't have to be miserable anymore. You don't have to yell and scream anymore. You don't have to get angry anymore. You don't have to be jealous anymore of anything or anyone. What Jesus wants for you, he says this to Louisa, I want to make a divine masterpiece out of every soul living in the divine will. That's my goal as God. He wants you and I to become a divine masterpiece. We haven't seen anything yet of what God is going to do for those who love him. More so, he says, because this gift was given to man, Adam, at the beginning of his creation. This is not a new gift. It's not something new. It's the oldest gift that Adam rejected, to be in God's image and likeness. An ungrateful Adam rejected the divine will by doing his own human will, by withdrawing himself from our most holy divine will. That's what happened to Adam. Can you believe it? So he says to us, do you want me, the Lord God Almighty, to give you, little creature, little child, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies? Do you want this? Our response should be fiat. Yes, Our Lady's response was the same thing. Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. We learn that from Our Lady. What we learn from Jesus, he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is what they taught Louisa. So Louisa said, the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom come and reign in me on the earth, this dust that I possess, as it is in heaven. So Jesus is asking us, he's pleading with us, are you willing to give up your misery? He calls it your rusty penny, so I can fill you with millions. And most of us say, well, if I give up my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. And God goes, good. Then we go, but I won't have it anymore. It's the only thing I know. God goes, get rid of it. Give it to me, and I'll fill you with millions. Watch what I'm going to do. But I won't have it anymore. What won't you have? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You won't have that anymore. He wants you to be one with him, fused with him in his most holy divine will. So he says, now the one who disposes herself, and the reason he uses herself is all souls are feminine to God. So the one who disposes herself to doing our will, our divine will, our volition, that's the saints doing the will of God, prepares the place, the decency, the nobility for where to be able to put this gift that is so great and so infinite, where they're going to place it. Now, the saints learn to do the will of God, and that's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. It shows you, you have to become a saint. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't need to be a saint. I want to know what Jesus talked about the divine will. And it's like, you're not going to understand it unless you're a saint. You've got to obtain that perfection of volume 1 through volume 10. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Why? So that you can get into volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, which no saint possessed. Living in the divine will, no saint possessed. Then you have to get to the point where volume 20 through volume 36, you begin to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. That's what God's got planned for you. So he says, the soul disposes herself by doing our divine will, prepares the place, the decency, the nobility for where to be able to put this gift that is so great and so infinite. It's eternal. Our knowledge is on the fiat. Okay, so now he's going to say what he wants you to do by reading. The knowledges, the promises on every page, the manifestations that Jesus taught Louisa on every page. These knowledges on the fiat shall help and prepare the soul in a surprising way to receive this gift. If you don't read it, you won't be able to receive this gift of living in the divine will. You have to learn this. Right? We heard that from the Baltimore Catechism. To know, to love, to serve God. But the divine will is a little different. It's to know, love, and possess God. That's what God wants for us. He says, the knowledges that you will read in the book of heaven will help and prepare you in a surprising way. Why? Because Jesus is speaking to you. He is the Word of God. He speaks to us when all those words are written down. That's why when you read it again, it's brand new. Why? Jesus has given you more of the understanding of that Word, of those words. He'll prepare you in a surprising way to receive this gift. And what has not been obtained up till today, listen to this, it shall be able to obtain tomorrow. You will be able to obtain everything tomorrow. What you haven't learned to this point, don't worry. You will learn everything by tomorrow. And then the next day. And then that, why? It's going to become your life. You're going to be listening to Jesus every day. He's going to be teaching you every single day. This is what he tells Louisa. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for what God's going to do? It's going to be glorious. It's going to be magnificent. Therefore, he goes, I am. Jesus uses God's name. I am. Therefore, I am. He wants us to understand that He, the Lord God Almighty, is speaking to us through this little newborn Louisa Picaretta. It's not Louisa who's talking. It's Jesus. I am doing as a king would. What? He says, who would want to elevate a family with the bonds of kingship and with his royal family. So here is kinship and becoming a member of the royal family. So what he's asking of us, thank you, what he's asking of us is to begin to live a life that nobody has ever seen. Adam saw it, but Adam lost it. So now he's asking us, are you willing to embrace this? He says, I want to elevate my family with bonds of kinship. That means, remember what he said, who is my mother and my brother? Who has an intimate relationship, a blood relationship with me? He says, It's the one who does the will of the Father. And he says to Luisa, the one who lives in the will of the Father. Do you see what God is doing? You know, who is one with Christ? I mean, can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Being in the house of Nazareth with Our Lady and St. Joseph and listening to Jesus. Can you imagine what he would tell us? Just to be with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God. What would you be talking to him about? What would you be asking him? What would you be listening to him about? If you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he's talking to you. And you might not hear him with your ears, but he's talking to your heart, your mind, your soul. And he says very, very clearly, he says very, very clearly, I want you to enter into my royal family. Now, your scapular that you wear is the clothing of heaven. Wear your scapular every day. You're saying to God, I want to be clothed in divine royalty, Lord. If you're a religious, wear your scapular. This is very, very important. You have to begin to understand what God is calling you to. Kiss your scapular every day. When you take it off and put it on, kiss your scapular. I try to leave my scapular on all the time, but I have times where you can venerate the scapular. This is the royal clothing of the family of God. In order to do this, Jesus says, first, the king takes one member of his family. He keeps that soul in his royal palace. He raises the soul. He eats together with that soul. He accustoms that soul with his noble divine ways and entrusts his divine secrets to that soul. Why? In order to make that soul worthy of God, he lets her live of his most holy divine will. That's what he did with Luisa. Luisa's not equal to the Blessed Mother. She's not equal to Jesus. Luisa is the little newborn of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is why they came to earth, to begin to become the new Adam and the new Eve for all mankind. How happy we are to be Catholic, to know this. How happy we are. How blessed we are. If you have a statue of Our Lady, make sure she's crowned. Let everybody know she's not only your mother, she's your queen. If you want to really read about the Blessed Mother, read the prodigies of Our Lady. Jesus says, I as her son, I'm the only one that can really tell you who my mother is. Who the Queen of Heaven and Earth is. Jesus is telling us. It's unbelievable when you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother. She is so magnificent. Jesus is telling us about her. He says, so what's God doing? He's taught Luisa the noble ways of heaven. That's the book that's found in the Book of Heaven. He's taught the Luisa the secrets of heaven, which is in the Book of Heaven. He taught Luisa how to make herself worthy of God, that's found in the Book of Heaven, and he lets her live in his most holy divine will, which is found only in the Book of Heaven. If somebody's talking about living in the will of God and Luisa's not mentioned, I would avoid that book. And there's a few out there that are copying Luisa and saying that they're theirs. Luisa's the only one who talked about living in the divine will. If you listen to Archbishop Piccieri, he says no one in the history of the church is the one to explain the coming of the kingdom. He says this is Luisa's job. How does she do it? By writing everything down that Jesus told her to write. Why? For us to learn it. You must know, he says, this great gift of the divine will, so that you can be transformed. And in order to be more secure And in order not to let her descend to the baseness of the human family, he makes her the gift of his most holy divine will. That's what God is doing right now. He's making us the gift of his most holy divine will, so that you don't have to descend to the baseness of your family, of your nation, so that she could hold the divine will in her own power. That's what God does. He's given us this gift so that we will not be powerless anymore. He's given us this gift so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. What a glorious time to be alive. What a magnificent time to be alive. How blessed we are to have the book of heaven. Read it, study it, put it into practice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.